G'day, everyone. Just a quick reminder that the contents of our episodes are based on discussions and experience that we have lived here at Elephant Advisory and are not to be taken as financial advice. We suggest any listener always seeks qualified professional advice that's tailored to your specific needs. Now that formality is done with, sit back and enjoy today's episode. Welcome, everyone, to the Elephants on Business podcast, improving your small business journey one episode at a time. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about sales, specifically to small business, and also specifically to people who might not have the confidence to go out and sell. G'day, Oz.
It's great to be back.
Now, obviously, in a business, you live and breathe by, obviously, cash flow, but a lot of that cash flow is derived by your sales. And, you know, Oz and I were speaking about the other day, I guess, Oz, no one in our office is your traditional go-getting salesman.
No, not at all. We're probably the complete opposite of a salesman, right? We're behind doors, like obviously being an accountant background, you know, you're pretty much at your desk in a cubicle the whole time crunching away numbers.
Your preference is to do the work.
It's what makes
you comfortable.
That's exactly right. That being comfortable is where you sort of sit, and then you just like sitting in front of the laptop and doing the work.
And it's the same for anyone in finance. Majority of your career is sitting behind Excel or a PowerPoint presentation, just getting your work done. But obviously, when you've transitioned to small business, one of the biggest fears I had was, well, I'm not a salesman. You know, how do I get clients to come and use me and my services and trust me? And so today's episode is really just about diving into what I think our tips are on doing that.
Yeah, and we're still obviously developing, and we're not the best salesmen out there, but we can tick a few things off, and we've got a process, and at least we gain some clients, and as you gain clients, I think their confidence builds.
Spot on. Slowly,
you know, it develops over time.
And I think that's where we'll start at the top. Sales to me is all about being confident in what you're doing. One, because for most people, sales is difficult. Two, because I think clients see confidence very easily. And the first tip is, the easiest way to be confident in selling something is to try and be an expert in what you're selling.
Yeah, I think that's a big driver in confidence, right? So, like, if you know the specific topic on hand in, like, from A to Z, you know, any questions that the client or the customer asks, you know, you've got a response and you're confident in the way you're responding back. And, you know, as you said, it does come off in a meeting if you're, you know, hesitant or, you know, you don't really know the answers and things like that. And when we say, I guess, expert, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you need to know everything like obviously in our field, we're doing tax. You know, obviously we don't need to know every little element of tax. We pick a specific section and we go, well, let's become experts in that field. And, you know, we've specialized in obviously that small, medium business accounting. And that's where we've, you know, said, let's become experts in. And I think that that's pretty much very similar, I think, in your field as well.
Absolutely.
You know, there's obviously vast ranges of finance that you can get. There's the commercial lending, the car lending, the asset lending.
Spot on.
Resi and all that. So, you've probably picked a segment and you know everything about that segment, right?
And I think that's really important. Like when Oz and I say, you know, be an expert, it actually doesn't mean be the smartest person in the world or know everything about every product. Sometimes knowing less about your whole industry and focusing on one area is a bit easier, especially as your business grows. I always say, like, Oz is spot on, in our industry on finance, there's heaps, business, car. Like, if you told me how to do car finance or asked a question, I wouldn't have a clue. And to be honest, I'm happy to say I have no idea because that's not my end game. We're in property and we like that. And so, being an expert in that is where we sit, and having the confidence to also tell a client, I'm sorry, that's not what we do. That's not our speciality. I could put you in touch with someone. And again, I think a lot of the expert side of this tip is really just to build your confidence. Sales is something that you have to do day in, day out in business. And if you're uncomfortable doing it or there's a barrier for you to picking up that phone call, or you don't like sitting in front of a client, the best and easiest way is to make the conversation easy.
Yeah.
And the easiest conversation is just something you
something
know.
Something you know, yeah. That's
it's the easiest thing, right? You might have hobbies that you like talking with your friends about. You might like the gym. You might like cars. You might like whatever it might be. There's often topics that are just easy and roll off your tongue. I think if you can make your product you're selling or your service you're selling that kind of topic, it makes it super easy.
Super simple. And then you're not like burning a lot of energy and you're not getting exhausted from the sale. Like it's just becoming so pleasant that, you know, you just do it and then you move on to the next and you get on with the day. Whereas when it's something difficult, you know, you're nervous, like the 30 minutes leading up to the meeting, you can't do any work because you're just like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. And then you start getting all fidgety in the meeting. You're super nervous as well and it comes across and then, you know, you do the meeting and then you're just exhausted. And then you can't do any work after that.
And it's such an interesting point. And I think through all these points, I found that like energy management, when you're talking to clients or talking about your product, man, it can, if you have a lot of sales calls, you have a lot of clients you're meeting and you don't enjoy that conversation or it's not easy, it can really sap your energy.
Yeah.
And it can ruin your whole day and make you not want to do this over and over again. So, you know, build up your expertise, especially at the start in small business. It is nice to tell a client, my expertise is this. And I also believe that helps with referrals. If you go to barbecue with your friends and you just say, oh, Oz is a great accountant, that's great. You know, everyone will go, oh, that's nice to know. But if you go, Oz is a specialist in small business, there might be a few people in that room that go, oh, yeah, I'm in the small business bucket. So that connection's a bit easier.
Yeah.
So I think it helps not just with your own confidence, but just with the fact that you might grow a bit faster, being a little bit more specialized.
Yeah, and then those referrals, as you said, I think the referrals that you get are in line with what you were doing. So, like, instead of getting referrals from all over the place, it's probably nice to just get, you know, a specific class.
Yeah, I think so. So, the second one is really a twofold tip. I think it's all about knowing your ideal customer and your concept of painkiller versus vitamin. So, I'll explain that little quote. If you're going out and you're selling vitamins, what you're telling someone is that this vitamin will help you feel better, will make you feel good. You're kind of trying to convey all the positive things that can come out of this vitamin, which are these vitamin brands are massive. The painkiller approach is, well, finding a customer that has a headache and selling them some Panadol is a lot easier because you're dealing with a real problem that they want to solve. And each of them have their own business styles that you go down, the painkiller or vitamin. But often, if you can sell your product to clients that need it,
yeah,
and it solves a problem and you know it and they know it, it is a lot easier. And that comes down with that specialization as well. When you're specialized, you will find clients that need your specialization.
You can find those pain points and really target them.
And you can, exactly right. Whenever you're selling a product, it's not the single product. Different people have different reasons why they're buying that same product. And if you can kind of articulate those from a painful point of view and solve them, I feel like that's a great way to start your small business. Obviously, as you grow, you might change into different avenues, add different products, all that kind of stuff. But at the start, if your accountant doesn't pick up the phone call and you can't get your BAS done,
yeah,
well, then if you can articulate why, you know, we're timely, we're this. If your bank manager doesn't call you back or doesn't submit your loan on time or doesn't give you good interest rates, we focus on telling clients we solve that problem rather than saying, it's great to have me in your life. That sounds good, really clients ultimately buy off their problems.
Yeah. This painkiller versus vitamin concept is very interesting and it's one that I actually enjoy quite a bit. You know, like we sort of discussed that before as well, like last week. And, you know, it's such a small difference, but it makes it, it's quite the lens that you view it. It can make a huge difference on the way you tackle your business and the way, as you said, you communicate how you're going to solve problems rather than, you know, just saying, yep, you actually do need me. You know, even if you reflect on yourself, like, how many times do you actually take vitamins? You probably tried them once or twice and then it's just like, well,
they disappear.
They completely disappear. Whereas when you've got a headache or something like that, straight away you grab your painkiller and solve the problem. So I think it's a great little concept. And if you can just tweak your mind to view it as, maybe let's just tackle it as a painkiller way, and we'll, you know, at least solve problems for our clients that way.
And, you know, and it's funny because both of them are actually the same thing.
They're exactly the same.
Because a vitamin can solve a deficiency and a painkiller can prevent stuff, right? But it's just the lens in which you craft your conversation with the client. And I think that's what we're honing on. Understand why that client is sitting in front of you. Because sometimes it might be a little bit different to the reason you thought that they were sitting in front of you. We always talk about in our industry, OSDA's accounting, I go and source loans. And like, yeah, my solution is sourcing loans. But the real problem might be they're stressed about an auction. So if you can craft your skill set to help out with those pain points, you can kind of push clients down a bit more.
Yeah, excellent.
Number three is a really important one, and it probably zooms out a little bit. And I know earlier in our podcast we did an episode on business planning, but zooming out and understanding the value of your customer, your lifetime value of your customer, is such an important concept because it frames your approach. So if a single client is $1 million to your business versus $10 to your business, your sales approach is so much
different.
Completely different. And we talk about like lifetime value. That can be profit. That can be brand. That can be goodwill. That can be a whole bunch of things. But really just think about it. Like, what is the value? I win this client. This is how much profit I'll have versus this one, or sales and turnover I'll have. And that helps you craft how important or how focused you have to be. So I know, as we always speak about, if you had a $1 million client in front of you, your sales process is probably long. It's probably a year. It's very hard to just go and get a $1 million client. You probably have multiple touch points. You probably have multiple presentations. You might have multiple visits, multiple discussions. You might have multiple dinners.
Yeah, yeah. And as you said, like the level of importance becomes quite different when you're comparing.
Yeah.
Shouldn't really compare clients, but like obviously there is a value there. And
absolutely.
The ones that have a large value, you obviously need to prioritize their work and make sure you treat it as important. And as you said, you'll do those extra things like maybe go to the dinner and things like that to, you know, get that sale through. So
where you're a $10 client or your $1,000 client, you're more in a volume game. So you kind of have to have a lot more structure and focus when you're talking to them because you need to know yes or no because you have to move on to the next one,
Yeah, and still solve their problem.
But you need to kind of maybe be a bit more articulate in realizing that yourself, that it is a volume game. So you can't be coaxing a client for 2 years for $1,000. That's not going to build a sustainable business. It's good to give goodwill up front to clients. I believe that. But understand the value of that because sales can become unprofitable if you chase the wrong client or pull price or all that kind of stuff, right? So just knowing.
You're just getting exhausted at the end.
It's exhausting. Yeah. It's exhausting. And so really knowing the value of that client and then how it helps you approach it differently. Yeah. So that's kind of the next one. The fourth one down is know how you're selling. And this is a really high level one again around your marketing plan and who you are as a person. Excuse me, and the product that you're selling too.
Which I find these two sort of link the ones that we just spoke about in a sense, right? So like
absolutely
know what your brand is, you know, the speed of how you're going to deliver that particular product or service, and you know what's that cost. You know, is it cheap and fast and things like that, right?
Yeah, and it's exactly right. It's that whole concept of like fast, quality and cheap. It's like you can't have it all. And if you do, well, then maybe you have this amazing business. But generally, there are trade-offs in your business. Yeah, and you have to really understand it. If you're providing, like, for example, a law firm is providing really high-quality service, the speed and the time, these things might take time to do. The cost might be a lot. Just understand that balance.
Yeah.
And then because it affects how you sell or how you market. It's the same, right? If you're a cost-based driven business, like, you know, you are selling a phone for cheap or something for cheap, you're probably focused on things like mid-season sales, Black Friday that just happened, right? Where if you're a law firm, you're not discounting your fees on Black Friday. You're probably trying to build a brand, a goodwill, give education, and then like have a long sustaining view. So just knowing that product and how it fits in the market of your marketing is really, I think, a critical element to kind of hone your brain. Because I found in small business, I don't know about you, I was at the start, You jump around. I'm going to do Instagram. I'm going to do Google Ads. I'm going to go and go to networking events. And it's just like, depending on your business, actually some of it might not work. And yeah. It's okay. You don't have to do everything. Having a bit of focus is really key.
And sometimes I think when you start off a small business, you think you can do a lot and you know, you are going to be, you know, quick and quality and provide a cheap cost. But like, as you said, there is a trade-off. Like, it's not sustainable. Like,
and the, you know, as the business grows, worst time.
Yeah, exactly.
The business is growing and you're like, I can't keep up and I'm priced incorrectly and all this kind of stuff. So you have to look a little bit forward.
Yeah, exactly. So like, you might think it's working at the start, but as you progress and the business does grow and you've got staff and you've got more clients, you know, then for our side, you know, you're probably dropping off the speed component potentially. Or if you're not going to drop off the speed,
increase price.
You have to increase the price.
To hire more staff.
Yeah, hire more staff and maybe you're not going to do as much volume, but you know, you get the speed and the quality still. So, you know, at the start, when you've got only 10 clients, it's super easy to go speed.
It's all on you, right?
Yeah, quality and have it all there.
And so, I think that's an important thing about being very, very conscious about how you, quote, sell to a client. If you sell amazing service, which is great, and like this incredible process, you have to be able to back that up for the long term because clients get addicted to the way they've been bought into your business and they'll tell their friends. So, prime example in our industry, and it just happens to every mortgage broker. At the start, you have no clients and you say, you can call me anytime. Call me anytime. Call me on Saturday, come Sunday, call me at 10 at night. I'll visit your house. You're a bit desperate. You're like, I'll do anything. And clients are like, great. Some clients didn't even ask for it, right? Yeah. They just go, okay, like you said I can, so I probably will. At the start, when you got 5 clients, you get a call a week. No problem. When you have 500 clients and they're all calling at 8 o'clock, that's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a real big problem. And it also can build into a problem about how do you hire staff that match that criteria, or how do you tell your clients of 5 years that you can't call me now?
Yeah.
So be very conscious, and it comes down to this next topic, be very conscious of how you're going to scale your sales, which is exactly the next topic, right? Oz and I, Sam, Gab, everyone in this business, I can tell you right now, it's not your traditional salesman. We're not out there pounding the pavement, talking to people, networking events. I don't get energy. I get nervous when I do that kind of stuff. So the way we've succeeded is building an ultimate process, a staged approach where you talk to a client and then the next stage is to do this, or the next stage is to send a proposal, the next stage is to follow up. Building that proposal allows us to confidently sell a process, a turnaround time and an outcome rather than this fantastical dream. And that's how I think we've won.
Yeah. I think having that, like you said, like the process, step-by-step process, it makes sort of our journey as the salesperson to be more in line and tick the box as you go. And I think, you know, obviously being behind the scenes and one that we like, you know, we're typically behind, you know, crunching away on your laptop. You're not really client-facing all the time. But, you know, pivoting to a client-facing role, you know, if you can make it more enjoyable by having that process of ticking the box and, you know, it falls into what you were doing in the past, like, I think the whole sales process becomes easier for, you know, the person doing it as well, because it's just like, yep, I know I need to get from, you know, A to B first, and let me just focus on that and not get too carried away. And once I've done that, I can move on to the next step. And then once I've done that, I can move on to the next step. And as you go through those steps, obviously some clients will, you know, progress through, some clients will drop off. But, you know, I think you don't get as emotional because it's just, you know, I need to do step one. And then when I've done step one, I'll go to 2, 3. And regardless of the outcome, I know I'm doing the process in the best I can do, you know. So,
and I think the real important thing is to do this well and to scale your sales, it has to be consistent. Every client does have to get, I believe, the same level of quality. Like I said, if you've got a $10,000, $1 million client, different. But if your game is $10,000 clients, they should all have the same level of process and service to scale, because those first 10 give you the next 100. And it's really important. You know, when I started, we use this app called Pipedrive. There's heaps of sales software out there. I would definitely, it's not a plug. They don't get paid, but Pipedrive saved me because I had no idea what I was doing. It's kind of just, how do you get a client from here at the start to using you? because some clients take a year, some clients take 2 days to make decisions, and it can be very emotionally roller coaster when you're like, oh, he didn't call me back. But it should just be very much, it's like a tennis game. I give you some information, you give me some more, I try and solve a problem, I get to a point, I give a proposal, or I give some kind of pricing and you say yes or no. A no is not a bad thing because it should go into another pipeline or process where it's like, I'll follow you up for 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. So really view sales, especially if you're an introvert, view sales as a process. And if clients don't use you, don't get upset at the client. Understand that, could your process have been better? Could you have shown pricing up front? Should you have shown pricing later down the process? Should you have asked more questions?
Yeah.
If you tackle it that way, it becomes this game of improving your process, not a game of trying to be this, amazing salesman.
And like, you know, obviously you need to worry about conversions and things like that, but I think they can come secondhand once you solve that funnel process in terms of, you know, maybe looking at that process outside in and going, well, maybe, as you said, you know, was there an extra question that I should have asked? Can I build out this process a little bit better? You know, was there something I could have done initially after the fact? And, you know, building that out, I think it's quite rewarding as well because, you know, small business, you know, going into it, it's like a building block. You build it out and then you get to see it like grow and become something larger than what you are, I guess.
And I always believe that if you have the mindset, the simple question I used to ask myself at the start was, if I got 10 phone calls today for new clients, what would I do? And at the start, I was a bumbling mess. If you said, oh, Sean, guess what? 10 clients are going to call. I would have stressed out and said, no, I can't handle 10. I don't know what I'm doing. But if you ask now in our business, like what kind of happens if 10 people call today, it's very simple. Email them a template that says you can book in time for my calendar. My calendar is ready and open in specific times. I know the agenda for that meeting. I know the questions I want to ask them. I know after that meeting what proposal I want to give them. I know if they don't follow up or give me an answer on that proposal, 7 days, I'll follow up again. And it's kind of this little game that I'm just trying to push someone down to understand. It's not push them to use us. It's push them to understand if we're the right fit for you.
Yeah.
Because it's okay. If you want to go to someone else, no issues at all. The only thing you want to do is just chase a client forever, where you'd rather just have 20 clients going down this waving funnel and some will drop in different months. And that's a very sustainable and I think more profitable business. Yeah. Some people are just naturally good at sales, but the majority aren't. Go and use a process. It's just the simplest thing. And think about templates, I think, too, is part of the big one.
Yeah, I think those templates help you not think about it too much as well. Like you've got the template and you just go, well, complete it, send it out, move on to the next.
I feel a lot of people get a lot of comfort when there is a consistent process or an agenda to why they're discussing it. So process, I think, is really, really important.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we'll kind of end it with our last little comment, which is like in a small business, unfortunately, if you're not a salesman, you're kind of going to have to get used to it being a very important part of your business. But my final comment, I think Oz will agree, it's like, it's an evolving journey. You don't have to be a great salesman straight away. You don't have to, you know, go out and meet a million people. Like business is a game of patience and sales is a skill that it just takes time. And I just think there's 22 million people in Australia. There's probably 7 million plus adults. There is enough work out there for your style.
Yeah,
some people would love if I wore a suit every day and some people would hate if I wear a suit every day. So what I'm going to do is just do whatever I want because when I'm comfortable, I can progress through my business life.
Yeah, and when you're comfortable, you can enjoy it as well. Yeah. And it's not that like that chore and it's not like, you know, like you said, if you had to wear a suit every day and you don't actually enjoy doing it, then it's like how sustainable is that going to be?
For 20 years.
Yeah.
Spot on.
For a very long time. So make sure, it is you and that way you're going to enjoy it and you'll get that long-term sustainability.
Amazing. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll reach out with another episode next week. Take care. Bye.
Bye.